yes, land lovers, this here be the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. This be an unofficial podcast dedicated to the hit ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Now this here be the main show episode, where we give our further thoughts of the amazing Once Upon a Time episode we watched last Sunday. Now, if you called in or emailed in, you might be hearing your thoughts in the podcast. So keep a ruddy eye out for it. And now, let's take a closer look at all the Once Upon a Time treasure we found. Here is Captain and First Mate of the Once Upon a Time podcast. And now, Captain, permission to come aboard?
Permission granted. You just need to wipe your feet first.
Exactly.
You never otherwise, know.
Otherwise, you're going to be swabbing the deck yourself.
Right.
I'm not doing it.
Well, we have one that swips the deck, but he's not with us right now.
Is he going to swab the deck?
Maybe. Welcome, everyone. Ahoy, mateys. Ahoy, crew. This is your cap'n and first mate. My name is Jeff Roney, and I'm joined by the lovely, kind of cold today.
Yeah, a little bit. A little chilly. I'm wrapped in a blanket. Colleen Roney.
And our first dog lady is sleeping for now.
She's sleeping.
And if you listen to the show and you're really kind of tuned to it, you can maybe hear little barks and whimpers here and there, because she'll be waking up, I think, once she hears us talk.
Maybe.
So we are here. This is the main show. We're going to be talking about Ariel, not just the character, but
the episode.
Once Upon a Time episode that is still continuing to just awe and amaze us. It's such a good season. And everyone is waking up to that fact, too, and we'll talk about that in our news segment as well.
Awesome.
But before we get started, we want to do something kind of fun and different. We want to do a Oncer quiz question.
Oh.
So I'm going to give the question now, and at the end of the show, toward the end, I'm going to give the answer.
Oh, sweet.
So our question is, this is from season one in Once Upon a Time. Remember that far back? Way back.
2 years ago, dude.
Yes. Ashley. Remember Ashley?
I do remember Ashley.
She was the Storybrooke equivalent to Cinderella, or Ella, as they called her. What did Ashley say she was doing in Mr. Gold's shop? Remember when Mr. Gold caught her?
Yes.
And said, "What are you doing?" What was her answer? So we will let you ponder that as we go through. We have a chock full show. We have so many things that we need to, exciting things to talk about and go through.
Yes.
And with that, we will get started.
Aye, it's time for some Once Upon a Time news.
Oh, yeah. So we have lots of news. Well, a little bit of news, but a lot of different types of news this time. So the first thing I actually want to talk about is our top three U.S. states that download our podcast.
That's kind of a random, interesting little fact.
A little plug. I don't usually do lots of plugs throughout, but I do buy the access to the Blueberry extended stats. And so with these extended stats, they give you things like top download numbers of states in the U.S.
Interesting.
So our number three is, drum roll please, I don't have a drum roll sound, Pennsylvania. Number three, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And I just checked it right before we went on to record the show today.
Okay.
So the Amish Mafia may be listening.
I sincerely doubt that.
Who else is in Pennsylvania? But thank you.
Yeah, Pennsylvania is a lovely
for
state.
For downloading and listening to our podcast. We really appreciate it. And if you are one of the downloaders that are listening and living in Pennsylvania, let us know.
Yeah, I don't think we've had anybody talk to us from Pennsylvania yet.
Put Oncer Penn or Oncer Pennsylvania in a hashtag and say, it's me.
PA.
It's one, yeah. It's that me. I'm listening from Pennsylvania.
Nice.
Number two is California.
Woohoo!
I even hit the mic stand. Yes, I was so excited. California.
That's where we live.
That's where we live, and that's where Disneyland is, and smog, and busy freeways. But there's lots of busy freeways. So number two is California. Number one is, do you have any guesses what the number one state
is? Well, it's kind of not fair for me to guess because I already know.
Oh, all right then. Yeah, because you're looking at the show notes.
I can look at the show notes, so.
It is Virginia.
Wow, another lovely state.
Yeah, toward the east over there.
That's where Bones spends a lot of their time.
All right. Yep, Colleen is a Bones fan, but we're not going to be talking about Bones. No, this is Once Upon a Time.
Well, Bones only as they pertain to the show. You know, there might be Bones in the show, so.
Right, and just to let you know, because we have a lot of new listeners, hello, new listeners, is not only do we really focus on the show, but we also really focus on the characters and the actors on the show as well. And many times they have things that are special to them and things that are important to them. And right now there is a super typhoon that hit the Philippines. I believe it's called Haiyan.
Yes. And then it's got the other name, Yolanda.
Okay. All right.
So I'm not sure how to say the first word properly, but, but yeah, this is pretty intense. This is one of the worst typhoons ever.
I was scanning through the page that Meg has tweeted out to help support them there. And they were saying 195 mile per hour and gust of 235 miles per hour winds.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's...
That's insane.
That's
devastating. I can't even fathom that because, I mean, 30 mile an hour winds are... Right. Annoying here. So, you know, 235 mile an hour winds, I can't even fathom that.
So, and not only do we really enjoy the show, but we really want to support the cast and what's important to the cast. And of course, this is important to Meg. And so we're going to put a link in the show notes for this site that you can donate and give. Give however you want to give. But this is a site that Meg knows about and was tweeting.
And being that Meg is from the Philippines,
you know,
that is his heritage. We definitely want to support that as much as possible.
Absolutely, I mean, and
even if he weren't, that's still a reason because it's devastating.
Yes,
it's a very devastating, you know, natural disaster. There's nothing they can do about that.
Yep. And if you pray for the Philippines, send. Good thoughts, however you want to, that's fine. This is devastating. So, anyhow, do what you can, for that cause. And, our hearts are with those there and, also with Mick, because I know it, hits him as well. All right. So let's move on to the ratings. Let's talk about the ratings. We mentioned at the top of the show that, Ariel was another great show and a great season. We're really, really enjoying the season.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. So Ariel had a boost to season two territory of viewer numbers to 7.55 million viewers.
That's great.
Which made this episode, Ariel, the number three top viewing numbers of season three.
Mm-hmm.
The first was the pilot for season three.
Mm-hmm.
And the second episode in season three, and the name escapes me. And then Ariel.
Yeah. Wasn't Lost Girl number two?
I don't even want to say.
I can't remember either. But anyway.
Anyway. So fantastic news for Once Upon a Time.
And actually, I remembered something that I want to bring up before we move to the next segment, which was. What you said earlier about we talk about the actors and the characters and things like that here, and we just happen to be mentioning Bones because I love Bones.
Right.
And I remembered that last week's Bones, there was their honeymoon. They went to Argentina.
Okay.
And the police officer they ran into down there, the chief of police down there, just happened to be the gentleman who played Cora's father-in-law.
Oh, Bucho.
Bucho from the Desperado movie. But he's Joaquim the Almeida.
Yeah.
That's who that was. He was a totally different character. It was really funny to watch. I'm like, oh, hey, it's Cora's father-in-law. So anyway, just thought I would throw that out there.
That is really lots of fun to watch other shows and see people who have been in Once Upon a Time pop up.
Yeah. Oh, and, look, there's so-and-so.
Right. Excellent. So now we are going to move on to this. Hello. This is... Shh, be quiet. This is Don Juanito. I said be quiet. And we have some squawks from the social media. All right. It's enough. Thank you, Don Juanito. And yes, there have been squawks on social media about us and to us, and we really appreciate that. So just a reminder is that we are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT podcast. And Danielle has a question about the town. She was mentioning that she was watching after Owen comes to Storybrooke. How is it that no one's ever stumbled upon the town? And the only thing I can think of is it really was like the Hook's ship with that was cloaked.
Right.
It's very similar to that in that if you were looking at Hook's ship from the docks, you wouldn't see it.
Right.
Unless you had magic or something to get upon the boat or see it or have access to it.
Right. So, it's not like there's a bubble around it. So I don't think you would, like, people wouldn't crash because otherwise people would have crashed into it a long time ago. Right. I think what it is that there's a road that is specifically takes them right through and it's hidden from view. Kind of like the when they cloaked the beanstalk field.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. So you drove right past it. You didn't see it. It just looked like any other landscape.
Yep.
But if you knew where to go and turn in, you could actually like turn there. And I don't know whether people could have turned in.
I don't think so. I think it's
protected like as if it's not there. So
on the flip side, in answer, part of her question was, would they crash and this and that? Now, when we were introduced to Storybrooke, we did see a number of cars swerve off the road trying to leave.
So that was different.
That was kind of within that.
Because you're underneath the
Cora's boundary spell.
Exactly, the boundary.
So, or the boundary spell.
Right.
All right, excellent. And also, Danielle had another question about Regina kind of being behind the whole snow and the stirring up of the horse and that kind of a thing. And she was wondering if Regina had known what her mother did to Snow's mother, do you think the relationship between Regina and Snow would have been different? And I think it would have been.
Yeah, because, again, Regina didn't know that it was her mother that was behind all that stuff, because it really was Cora.
Yeah.
I mean, she mentions that, you know, Cora killed Snow's mother, which we saw. Cora, you know, caused Snow's horse to go kind of crazy. She, you know, she basically rooked her into telling her what was going on between, you know, Regina and Daniel.
Right.
So, yeah, if Regina had known that, would that have made a difference? I think it might have. But again, I mean, let's also look at, you know, the fact that the reason why Cora was the way she was is she didn't have a heart. She took it out to protect it from, you know, Rumple.
True.
And then on top of that, you know, Regina always wanted her mother's love and never really felt like she had it. And she really didn't, because you don't have a heart. How do you love somebody? So, I think she might have at least been a little less unhappy with Snow had she known that it was really Cora behind everything. Because I don't even know. Did she know now? I think she knows now that Cora killed her mother.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, that.
I believe so.
I think that may have been part of why she's a little less inclined to attack Snow. Plus the fact that Henry, you know, is the glue that's kind of keeping them as a family fractured as it is. So, yeah, I think there's a possibility that she could have had a different relationship with Snow. She'd known all that stuff.
Danielle also asked, do you think Regina still could have been with Daniel? And I think if she would have known,
if she had,
it would have
known,
changed a lot of different things.
Possibly, because, again, you know, if she had known and realized what was going on, then yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
Because she would have been a little better about keeping it a secret, is what I'm thinking.
But, you know, as we kind of take a step farther back and look at a TV show as a whole story, mm-hmm. is that being apart from a true love or almost getting a true love is more emotional and dramatic than getting a true love. Mm-hmm. I'm not bashing true love, but it's not dramatic, and it's like it kind of gets okay. They're blissfully happy, fantastic,
right.
Yeah, so
it's more entertaining to watch them struggle than to just fall into it easily.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but it's the truth.
That's the truth. All right, and Marilyn has a very interesting point. After seeing the naval uniforms in Hook's backstory, does anyone else now think that Rumpel's doll seems to be dressed in a naval officer's uniform?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I saw was Beast. It looks mm-hmm. just like the blue jacket that the Beast wore in Beauty and the Beast. That was my first thought. But yeah, it does have a very striking resemblance to a naval uniform. So there's a real possibility it could, you know, point to, you know, a hint about who Rumpel's father was.
Yeah. All right. And I want to give some Twitter shout outs. The first to a new listener. It's at CrazyJOUAT. So, hey, thanks for trying out our show.
Sure.
And for tweeting out your thoughts along the way. And that's very important. We really, really appreciate that. I also yep. want to give a shout out to Mr. Lee Ehrenberg for retweeting a tweet about our podcast. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much, mm-hmm. sir. And Mr. Lee, remember, we have a voicemail line. So just saying, it's on the website. You can check it out and use it. Also, some other shout outs. I want to shout out to D'Angelus, an old time listener. I remember.
You mean long time listener?
That's right. What did I say? I don't even want to know.
Old time listener.
Yeah, long time listener. All right. Yeah.
Sorry, I mess up words all the time. I'm like, old time, not quite really what you meant there.
All right. Sorry, D'Angelus. All right. So anyway, he was listening like episode 2 or 3 really early on.
Wow,
so
that's great.
And he tweeted out a very kind thoughts. It's still the best OUAT podcast. Great job. So thank you very much for that. Also, I want to give a shout out to Visit Richmond, BC for retweeting our page about Storybrooke's Main Street and its Steveston counterpart.
Oh, very cool.
We love Steveston. You don't even have to know us 5 minutes. You can get us talking about this podcast and what we've done while we've done the podcast.
Yeah.
And we will tell you about our visit to Steveston. Wonderful town, great people. Just a magical time.
It's where I want to live when we have lotto money.
That's true. And that's
part
absolutely
of the year
true.
Anyway, for sure.
Yeah. And some of the greatest people mm-hmm. that we still keep in contact with. And that was even before we met and chatted with some of the folks in the cast.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a fantastic trip mm-hmm. That we took not too long ago. But anyway, thank you, Visit Richmond, BC.
Yes.
We have big love for you, and thank you so much for that. All right. We have no blog comments this time, but you can always listen to or leave a blog comment on our blog at onceuponatimepodcast.com. I will fix this link here. There you go. All right. And we move on to our next segment. I just realized where I got that. And here they are. Wasn't that the Newlywed Game or something?
Dating game. That's funny.
It's funny how you grew up and you hear all this stuff, and then that's where you get influences for whatever. All right. So this email is from Holly. And one of the points I wanted to bring out was I'm thinking now that Regina's realizing some of Rumpel's frustration when he was training her.
And that stemmed from the frustration of training Emma, trying to train, which is interesting. I mean, we kind of talked about this a little bit, but wow, do you even really grasp the dynamic we now have between Regina and Emma?
Mm-hmm.
They were enemies.
Yep.
And now Regina is teaching her magic. Holy cow.
Yeah. Right.
And that's actually pretty scary when you think about it, because if Emma is more powerful or becomes more powerful than Regina does, because Emma has that potential, how's that going to play out? I don't think Emma would turn against her necessarily, because she knows that Henry loves Regina as well. But I think that it would be a real interesting, you know, really interesting scenario.
This will tie into something we're going to talk about later, but being a teacher is very strong, because you can mold someone.
Sure. Shape their future.
Yep. So we'll talk about that later on. Yeah. The second thought I wanted to pull out was the student becoming the teacher when Regina force chokes Pan's shadow, the version of Belle. And that's a great observation, because, you know, supposedly the Dark One is the next to Rol Gorham.
Yeah.
Did I do okay?
Rol Gorham, yeah.
Okay. That the Dark One is the most powerful being. And it took the Evil Queen, with all of her observational skills, to see through all this kind of emotional tie and all this to force choke and get rid of this vision bell.
So, I mean, she saw right away.
Yep.
And he didn't. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, that's an interesting testament to where his head is right now.
Absolutely. Okay. Wherever you are, just say, I made a deal with Mr. Gold. Did we mention you probably shouldn't say that just anywhere? This email is from Alina. Thank you, Alina, for sending it in. She has a question. Is Rumpel and Peter Pan so connected that if one dies, the other one dies too? And kind of leaning toward maybe they're related, something like that. So what do you think? I mean, I remember when Pan looked at Rumpel, and, you know, because Rumpel said, if I kill you, you know, whatever. And Pan said, you know, you can't do that. So that either means
they're genetically connected,
or he's immortal and he can't be killed.
Possibly.
So
I still think it comes back to the freaking daggers.
Okay.
They're, you know, the daggers are, they were so similar. And I'm betting that if he kills him, he's going to end up turning around and either taking his place as Pan.
Right.
Or because he's already the Dark One, it's going to destroy him somehow. I don't know. It's real interesting. And it is kind of a nice little puzzle that they've thrown at us, where we're, you know, trying to figure out what the heck are they trying to get at. So, yeah, I mean, I still think there's some sort of connection. I don't know what the relationship is, but, yeah. I mean, it's kind of freaky.
It is freaky indeed. Well, the first dog lady is now awoken.
Yeah, and she's...
You may hear her tail knocking into the microphone stand.
Yeah.
All right. So we will continue as long as the dog will let us. This is from Mai, and it's hard to kind of pare it down, because I'm trying to kind of keep the time down as much as I can for the podcast. So I'm just bringing out. There's a lot of great points here. So. One of them was that she mentioned that Ariel in Once Upon a Time is the closest to the Disney version, but with some changes. And I totally agree.
Right.
You know, all the fork thing and all that collecting. Yeah, a lot of different things with that. the moment she loses her voice when she was right there looking up at Eric but couldn't call to him.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tragic.
It was very sad.
Yeah.
But so I was sitting there thinking to myself, okay, splash around a bit. Splash around a bit. Splash around a bit. Splash, splash. Make some noise. Make some noise. He'll see you. No, she didn't do that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because she just didn't think she could. I think it would have freaked him out. Who knows?
Regina was, I think I mentioned it or something, but Regina was wearing the outfit from Skin Deep. I appreciated and noticed the outfit. I did not make the connection, though.
Yeah, I didn't either. Regina's got one of the best wardrobes, and that's Eduardo Castro. Thanks.
Yes.
Eduardo. He's amazing. He's really amazing.
And she's amazing.
Well, yeah.
So we will move on. Anyway, Maya was glad that somebody finally said, I'm glad that finally someone told that dude, that's not Belle. So.
Dude, that's not Belle.
Yeah.
Which I said from the beginning. I'm like, that's not Belle. That's mm-hmm. not, there's no way. And I kept saying it has to be Pan in disguise. And in some form, I was right because it was Pan's shadow.
Yep.
So, interesting.
All right. So, as we go through, you're going to find that there's a couple of emails that kind of really flip on different sides. And we'll talk about Neil and Hook. And I think, again, the writers have really set up this fantastic triangle.
Yep.
And as you really kind of look deeper, you find yourself at certain points of the show cutting certain people slack. And you go, oh, he's okay. And, oh, you know, he's okay. And, you know, whatever. So we'll start to kind of dive into it. Mai says, I disagree at the Neil scene. It wasn't sweet. I saw it kind of the opposite, like the ex that wouldn't leave you alone. I hadn't thought of that, but.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, Emma really isn't happy that he's alive because she was starting to get over him and she thought she could with Hook. And now he's alive and, you know, that's going to make it real tough because her feelings are going to be torn. Because I think she is starting to feel something for Hook. She kept looking at him, even though he's making her uncomfortable. I think she was like, yeah, but you know what? He's pretty yummy. So,
yeah,
at least I would be saying that if I was sitting there looking at him. I'd be like, okay, you know what? Neil who?
But isn't
and Neil's adorable, but I'd be looking at Hook going, Neil who? That's just me.
Isn't that the Facebook effect, though? I mean, you finally get over somebody, and then an old flame tries to friend you, and you go, oh, I thought I'd forgotten about them, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so
it's just kind of one
funny.
Of those things.
Yeah.
It is kind of one of those things.
So Mai also was talking about the comment that Emma made, which I thought was kind of, I wish you were dead. You know, she goes, I think we saw a lot of growth from Emma.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's ready to move on, you know,
yeah.
And it sounded harsh. I wish you were dead. But on the other hand, it was kind of like,
she didn't wish him dead maliciously. She wished that he weren't a part of her life anymore because it'd be a lot easier to get over and move on and not have to have this, you know, did I make the right decision if she does move on?
And Mai goes on to talk about, you know, selfish, toxic exes and all that. And I know that they're out there.
Yep.
I'm one of the few nice guys left. But anyway, we'll leave that go. The next point I wanted to bring out is he says he'll keep on fighting. But when did you start? He never fought for her. He sent her to jail in his place. And then he found Tamara in she found Tamara and all this kind of stuff. And so she's making a valid point.
Yeah.
Is now you're going to do all this?
Yeah.
I mean, what happened all the time before? And I mean, in his defense, see, this is what's interesting about all these conversations.
Well, wait.
August kind of made him.
August forced him into letting her go. But here's the question I have. Did he say he was going to keep on fighting or
I'll never stop fighting for you?
So if that's the case, and I know it's semantics, but in technicality, if he says, I'm never going to stop, that means he's going to start fighting for her from now on, is what I'm taking that to mean, is he's not going to stop fighting. He's going to fight. Before, he couldn't because he was told not to. Now he's going to fight. That's right. My take. I'm just, you know.
And Mai looks at Hook, or Killian, however you want to look at him, from a very different angle. She says he sacrificed his happiness to make sure Emma got hers, or what he thinks is her happiness. He's under the impression that Emma's true love is Neil, when we actually got pretty much a lot of the proof that it is not the case. He knows his heart is going to break, but he organizes the rescue anyway. And I think that's, you know, one of those noble things that we really don't see much anymore.
Right.
Is, you know, and it's this classic kind of a good guy thing, personality trait, where even though the guy isn't going to end up with, you know, the girl in the end, he still wants to help her find her true love, her destiny, her whatever. And
because that's love.
I know. Well, yeah, yeah.
Love isn't selfish.
I know.
Selfish would have been, no, you know what? I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell anybody about Neil. We're not going to go rescue him. He's going to just sit there and rot like a, you know, sorry son of a gun that he is.
Right.
And I'm going to woo you for myself. And he could have done that. And nobody would have been the wiser.
Right.
Until Pan would have spilled the beans. And then that would have really put him in a bad light. So he did the right thing, knowing that it could potentially cost him an opportunity with Emma. But again, we don't know that she's going to pick Neil.
Right.
She's torn.
Mm-hmm.
She is completely torn. And there's any number of opportunities that Hook may have of just being a good guy, which we know he is deep down. Even though he's a pirate, he's still a good guy. There's any number of opportunities that he can actually prove that he really does love her and give her, you know, what she wants, what she needs, and bring out the best in her, which is what you do when you love someone.
Yeah.
You don't do it for yourself. You do it for them.
True.
Ooh, I could get on a soapbox right now.
Better take an offering. Okay.
I'm going to dial it down a little bit.
So another thing I wanted to point out is, you know, we know that Pan is a lot of different things, but he's also an instigator. Mm-hmm. Because his secret started this whole secret chain of events.
Absolutely.
If he never said, Neil is here on this island to Hook, none of this whole echo cave thing would have ever happened.
No.
So not
at
only
least not this way.
Right.
Might have been different. But yeah, this is where it's
And do you notice that Pan took the focus off Henry and put it on Neil?
Right.
I mean,
He's diverting them because he's playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he knows that he needs to do that in order to keep them, because they'll find Henry eventually. They will. He just needs enough time with Henry to convince Henry to not leave the island. That's the point.
Also, there is just
which, by the way, let me just throw this out here because, you know, I mean, obviously, Pan's a smart kid, but at the same time, it's kind of like, dude, you really want to make it so he can't leave the island? Shoot him full of dream shade and then cure him with the water.
Well, and that was another thing I was going to ask.
You know what I mean? It's that whole villain thing. The villains never do the, because there's always that tiny little struggle.
Right.
They really want to not do the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to feel like they're in control. And so if he really was really, really completely wanting to do this, the worst thing possible, all he has to do is, you know, inject Henry with some dream shade, even a tiny bit, and then heal him with the waters, and then he can never leave.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I know. All right. So
I don't want that to happen.
I had, let me kind of roll through some thoughts I had as we kind of rewatch the episode. They're going to go pretty quick. So the first thing I want to talk about was Regina's mirrors. We've seen her look into other things, into the same realm, but this is the first time I've ever seen a mirror look into another realm.
Mm, yeah.
From the fairy tale land forest to the aerial area,
mm-hmm.
which it could be the fairy tale land. I don't know where it's located.
Yeah, we don't know.
But anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting that it was see to another realm. And also, if it goes to another realm, then her mirrors, if she's using that to be transported, was kind of like Jefferson's hat.
Right.
If, in fact, that's
right.
the truth. And also, just the interesting thing about the 12 hours that a mermaid could walk on dry land.
Right, because of the tides.
Right. And it was also kind of like Cinderella, the changing of things.
Right.
You have to get back by a certain point, otherwise, whatever. So it has a lot of ties in.
Right.
All right. You know, and a number of people had brought out the fact that Snow is kind of 0 for 5 of keeping secrets. Yeah, because even if you watch the show, Ariel tells her that I'm a mermaid, and it's kind of like, duh, I know.
Well, that's the only one that's a secret, quote unquote, she can keep because she doesn't tell anybody that Ariel's a mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't really consider that a secret.
Right.
But it is when you think about it.
And Snow said, well, your secret's safe with me. So.
And I'm sure a lot of people were going, I wouldn't trust her because, you know, she doesn't tend to keep secrets very well. But it's because she got tricked with Korra.
Sure.
And she's, you know, spilled the beans about Neil because she was, you know, protecting her daughter's heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I get why she's. Does what she does.
You know, crazy question. Adam and Eddie, if you're listening, hi. How was the Echo Cave built? How was it discovered? Who thought this thing up? Is this an imagination thing?
Yeah.
Like Henry and the Sword? And did Pan kind of sit down and imagine really good and created this?
Maybe.
This game cave?
Maybe. Okay.
All right.
Very well possibly could be.
I remember somebody else tweeted or something about when Neil yelled Emma, that was the only name that really echoed throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest I listened to, there was kind of this minimal echo, but it wasn't really. It could have been how loud he yelled. I'm not sure. And why did Hook's crew die in the Echo Cave? What were they after? What were they going for?
There must have been something on that rock in the middle that, you know.
Maybe it was him.
Mm.
Maybe, I don't know. Because the inference was, bless you, the inference was Hook never went in there.
Well, he'd only heard about it or whatever. He wasn't sure only what he was told. So he never witnessed it actually in action. So my thinking is there was gold gold or something important on that, you know, rock in the center. And they decided to just try and swing over and get it or, you know, use some sort of whatever. And that's how they ended up. And so who knows anything.
Okay.
We'll see hopefully later though.
Alrighty. So the next email is from Emma, and she says, I've never sent an email to a podcast before. Yay!
We love first-time emails.
Thank you, first-time emailer. Yay. We really appreciate that.
We do.
Because I know that there's different steps of podcast people.
Mm-hmm.
Is some people just listen, and they're comfortable with that. It takes a lot for somebody to send in an email.
Yeah.
And to make a call and kind of interact and all that. So thank you very much,
yeah,
Emma, for the email. I'll continue. But anyway, now that they've solidified the awkward love triangle between Emma, Hook, and Neil, I kind of wonder if by the end of the season something will happen that will prevent Hook from leaving Neverland.
Hmm.
Like some sort of trade-off with Charming. It makes sense because after this season, they'll probably go back to Storybrooke or the Enchanted Forest. Will Hook would be very much out of place.
Interesting.
That is, and it does fit in with the show idea of the whole double-sided candle is you'll get what you want, but magic always comes with a price.
Right.
And you have to pay something.
Somebody has to make a sacrifice.
So like that gold coin thing with the Pirates of the Caribbean. Or the souls. Remember that?
You're talking about the treasure of Cortez.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you take it, you're cursed.
Right.
So once the treasure's all returned, your curse is broken.
Yep. Yep.
But you have to have every last piece.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the reason it took them a really long time to find that last piece.
So it's the trade-off that Emma's talking about. And it is certainly within the realm of possibility. How are they going to get Charming off of Neverland?
That is going to be real interesting. And you're right. You know, there's a very real possibility that Hook will make the sacrifice again out of his love for Emma.
And
I just
and if
love
that
Hook
happens,
more and more all the time.
I know.
I just do.
And if that
saying.
Happens, can you imagine looking at Emma and say, would you stay with me or go with him? You know, and
I don't think he would.
Okay.
I think honestly, this is his heart, is that he would say, look, this is no life for you here. Mm. I can be here. I can survive. It's not a problem. And if I don't, it doesn't matter anyway, because without a life without you isn't worth living. So I would rather you be happy and make your choice and be wherever you want and then, you know, be safe.
Yeah.
And I'll make the sacrifice. I think he would. I think that if it came down to that, he would make the sacrifice.
Hmm. It is the first dog lady is now whining. She either wants mic time or something. I don't know.
She wants Mama to pet her.
Right. So anyhow, but it is a very interesting Twilight Zone-y kind of setup. Is that when somebody, you know, can't leave, how can they leave? So
right.
You get, yeah. So, all right.
That'd
this email is from Wilda, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. She noticed that when Snow blurted out that Neil was alive, her ears glowed red. Was it just lighting? It was all I could stare at. I know. She says I'm strange like that. You're not strange.
No.
And I did notice that it was red, but I didn't notice that it glowed. But there was, yeah.
You know what's funny is I didn't actually notice that.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and look at that again and see what I can see. Yeah.
I think she worked for, I think Awilda works for the show, because I think everyone's gone back and rewatched that. So anyway, thank you, Awilda, for that email. And this is from Marilyn. And there's been a video that's been going around, the Spell Block Tango, which is a kind of a Chicago showy.
No, it's a spoof on. It's a parody of the Cell Block Tango from the musical Chicago.
Right.
But it's with Disney evil characters.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen it, but I've heard about it. I just haven't had a chance to watch it. I do want to check it out.
Well, we'll put a link in the show notes. I did see a bit of it, and it's very good. Great singing.
Yeah.
Great
costumes. I'm sure it's fantastic.
Yeah. All right. We will do this.
And now, just in from the Storybrook News. Little Jack Horner's Pie Shop now has gluten-free pies. Our new location is right on the corner. It's a plum location. Right on the corner. It's not magic. It's the Storybrooke News.
All right. This email is from Brad. Thank you, Brad. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. I just have a small list this week because I have some other thoughts I'd like to share as well. So number one, and normally he sends things I learned from the episode. So things I learned from the episode Ariel. Number one, the shadow does impressions. And yeah.
Yes, and really good ones at that.
You should hear his Clint Eastwood. Yeah. All right. Number two, a dinglehopper can be used as a shiv. And boy, you ain't whistling Dixie with that. Number three, Peter Pan can identify a fertile woman just by looking at her or knowing about her, I guess. It's kind of an amazing thing to just, you're talking about, well, she's fertile.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. And okay, so I think, wow. She's the first dog lady is really
driving nuts right now,
killing that bat.
Yeah,
she has a bat toy. Anyway, Peter Pan, I kept thinking was Rumpel's father.
I just don't see that happening.
Because he knew his breakfast and he made him his breakfast.
So,
and, all right.
Rumpel lived there. He would have known what he liked.
All right, number four.
I don't want to go into, Peter Pan is his father.
All right.
This is not Star Wars.
Okay. Number four, camping with the Charmings would be an awful spinoff. Well.
Well, it would be an interesting
unless
spin-off,
it's hello sure. again, Larry. I don't know. All right, number five, always fall in love first before revealing your big secret. Well, that's in the beginning of the episode when Snow's looking over the cliff. Number five was always fall in love before revealing your big secret. And that's true. I mean, who would want to know all your secrets before falling in love? Oh, by the way, you know, I have six toes. I do.
You do not.
I don't know. No, but I'm just telling you.
Yeah, that's anyway.
That was a tame secret, and I'm just anyway. Mm. All right, so I'll go into the rest of Brad's email. In the beginning of the episode, when Snow is looking over the cliff, she says to herself, "Really? I found this humorous because Emma says things like this all the time." So to hear young Snow say it was great.
And by the way, it wasn't said in that manner. It was, really?
Yeah.
You got to say it the right way. Otherwise, it just doesn't have any meaning.
That's why you're really? Here with me to help. I know.
Yeah.
Which is
the equivalent of Grey's Anatomy, seriously.
Right.
Anyway,
and
ahead.
Emma said that as well.
Yes, I know.
When she got coffee poured on her, and then Ruby came to help.
Uh-huh.
I seem to recall that.
Yeah, I'm sure you remember that because of Ruby.
Oh, yes. She's a great waitress, Ruby.
Yeah.
All right, I will continue. If I'm being honest, the one thing I disliked about the episode was the water scenes. It looked like Ariel and Snow were inside a swimming pool in some shots. A real scene with a beautiful beach and an ocean would be shown, but then the close-up shots were obviously not shot in the same location. It reminded me of those where someone is pretending to drive and a screen is used for the background. I wanted to like everything about the episode, but that really took me out of it. I wish they could have done a great job as they did with Regina as Ursula.
Well, part of it was, you know, the time of day, too.
Yeah, but I get what he was saying. I mean, they really go to great expense with the buildings and the towns and the expanse, but... Yeah,
correct, so. But on the same token, you have to understand that shooting something like that in the real ocean is not as feasible as doing it in a pool.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Bridge Studios has a pool for filming underwater.
Yeah,
I don't probably
know.
I think most filming companies or backlots do have,
or at least
some
they
type
have
of,
access to one. So yeah. If they don't, another studio might. But bottom line is, yeah, I mean, look, when you think about it and where they would have been, yeah.
All right. Speaking of Regina, for once, she was the only one making sense when she refused to go after Neil. Just because he is on the island doesn't mean they should have put the whole plan to find Henry on hold. This is why Charming did not say anything about the Dream Shade. They should really have split up the group evenly. Hopefully, there are no repercussions for doing this. And that's true. You know, and we kind of talked about Pan being involved in the whole shift of. No, don't rescue Henry. Let's find Neil. We'll put him in this place and have you confess secrets that could eventually pull you apart. So, yeah, I agree. I was trying to figure out the timeline when Regina goes after Ariel. I believe it takes place after she visits Rumpelstiltskin in Skin Deep about a deal. And the connection with Skin Deep would be Regina's dress and Snow's outfit as well.
Right.
To be made involving a certain mermaid. And that's three things.
So it probably is right around that same time frame.
Yep. Lastly, I really would like to have seen some under the sea storyline. I realize most of Ariel's world revolved around sea creatures, but we didn't even get a mention of King Triton. I tried to, but you didn't agree. You thought that
no,
the king wasn't King Triton.
No, because the king of that realm would not have been King Triton. He's king under the sea. There's no way that Eric, being the prince, would have been the son. He would have known who Ariel was.
All right.
So Ariel is the daughter of King Triton, but she did mention... Anyway.
Okay.
She didn't mention her father. You're right. We never heard a mention of it. And again, the other thing is... she would have, she didn't mention any sisters. She didn't mention that she even, you know, I would have thought she would have known who Ursula was and would have actually known Ursula, especially if she's real. But anyway.
Now that Ariel is going to Storybrooke in the present day, they could always do another backstory, but I doubt it. If they were going to show it, I think they would have been in the episode. That's it for now. Thank you very much, Brad.
Thanks,
for
Brad.
That. This is from Katie in Florida, and it said, I have a theory that Pan and Rumple are stepbrothers.
Yeah.
Just because Pan was taunting Rumple about his father. And yeah, okay. Yep. And as far as who's in the box, it could be Rumple's father, which would be very Lost-like, Locke and his father. Mm-hmm. I think whoever, whatever is in the box is going to be a character that has not been introduced yet. Could be, too.
Yeah.
I really liked the episode, especially when they had to tell their secrets to rescue Neil.
Mm-hmm.
It will be interesting to see those consequences of those secrets. Yes, indeed.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Katie from Florida.
Agreed.
And now to present our next segment, here is Ariel. Oh, the voice thing. I think what she's trying to say is, ouch, don't stab me with that fork. Ouch, Dinglehopper. Okay, what she's trying to say is, here are the voicemails. Ouch, I wasn't making fun of your situation. Ouch, don't stab. Here are the voicemails. Hashtag Ariel stabs. All right. So here is our first voicemail.
Alas, ye onesers, this is Brad calling, asking for permission to come aboard. Ahoy, Captain Jeff and First Mate Colleen, and of course Don Juanito and the rest of the crew. I was very pleased with the honor of Hook in this episode. I wasn't really sure what route he would take after Pan told him Neil was on the island. I love how we saw in good form what drove him to become a pirate. The secret he reveals in the Echo Caves about Emma's kiss must have really had an effect on him. Since Milo's death, the only thing he has cared about is getting revenge on Rumpelstiltskin. Emma has shown him that he can love again, but the only problem standing in his way is Neil. If Hook continues to pursue Emma, we may be in for a fight. Hook stole his mother from his father, and now he's trying to do the same with Emma. Now, to be fair, when Hook started to fall for Emma, Neil was not in the picture at all. If Neil and Rumpelstiltskin ever reconcile, they will both have something in common, and that might not be a good thing for Hook. I really enjoyed seeing the real Killian, but the thing I fear is that he is becoming a third wheel. With his backstory already told, his redemption taking shape, and Neil's return, we may see the end of his character soon. The only storyline he has at the moment is the love triangle, so what happens when that's resolved? If there was ever a time for him to sacrifice himself in a noble way or leave the show somehow, this would be it. It's not what I want, so hopefully it's not heading that way. Another thought is, what is this connection that Rumpelstiltskin has with Peter Pan? We heard in the episode that he can only stop Pan by dying. When it is revealed that Peter is the Pied Piper, Rumpelstiltskin is surprised and frightened to see him. Now, why would he be afraid of Pan unless he knew he had some kind of power? The only thing obvious right away is that Pan hasn't aged since the last time Rumpelstiltskin saw him. Now, we don't know if the person who possesses the dagger has immortality. I just always assumed they did. Rumpelstiltskin has taken magic from people to use as his own, as he did with the seer. If he didn't always have everlasting life, he would have sought it out. And the only place we know where time stands still is in Neverland. Peter has left the island before and did not age, so why couldn't Rumpelstiltskin have done the same thing? If Pan's power and immortality comes from Neverland, then the only way to kill Pan would be to find the source and destroy it. In doing so, this would also take away Rumpelstiltskin's immortality if he draws it from the island as well. When Rumpelstiltskin realizes Pan hasn't aged, he knows it's because of Neverland. Is it just a coincidence that the only thing we have seen to be able to hurt the Dark One grows in Neverland? This could also fulfill the prophecy. By saving Henry, it would be the undoing of his eternal life.
All in all, this was a great episode, man. I just wish old Prince Eric could have kissed the girl. I guess there's always the next episode. Boy, what a soft shell I'm turning out to be.
Love it. Thank you, Brad.
His voicemails are so entertaining.
Great point about Hook, and I think you maybe spoiled it just by kind of thinking it through. You know, if anyone really is set up to die, maybe Hook.
Ugh, God, I hope not.
You know, I mean, he really lays out a great...
I absolutely love him.
I know.
But love the character. Yeah. I think the actor's amazing. And not just because he's really cute.
Yeah.
Because he is.
And
he's beautiful. Mm.
You know, when Brad was talking about the destroying the source of the island, would that destroy the island as well?
Yeah.
You know, we...
That would be another Lost reference as well.
Sure. So, can't get away from it, people. Don't don't be a hater.
Yeah,
we're just saying.
Because unfortunately, the reality is that they're taking pages from Lost because they worked on Lost. So yeah, they're gonna draw from that. So anyway, I think it's I think there's valid points in all of it. I think you know that destroying Pan is gonna destroy his immortal life, which means he may not have his powers anymore. We don't know what will happen. It'll be real interesting to see how things are going to shape up for him.
And,
for all of them.
Sending away that of Rumple's dagger probably was the best thing in the world because that's probably the only thing that really saved him.
Yeah.
So, yes, excellent, excellent voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And, okay, we have one more. Here we go.
Hey guys, this is Dave from Michigan calling in defense of myself. When we talked last year on Twitter, Jeff, you had told me that they had already cast Joanna Garcia. I told you that it was a rumor because it was a rumor then. I didn't disagree with you that she would be perfect for the role, and we were both right about that. This show proved it. I enjoyed this episode as much as it seems that you guys enjoyed this episode. But I wanted to call in defense of myself on that part, and then I also wanted to throw out one little question. There's been a lot of talk on this show and others about possibly bringing in the Greek gods and stuff, since there's been Midas and a handful of other things. But I think Ursula throws a wrench into that plan, because they basically described her as a goddess of the sea, as opposed to just someone who's an evil octopus that lives down on the bottom of the sea with the mermaids. So does that mean that she is ruling in Poseidon's stead, or is Poseidon a cross-dresser, or is that just basically screw up the whole idea of bringing in the gods? Just a thought I had. I wanted to hear what you guys thought. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you very much, Dave. And, I mean, it could be, maybe not. And, you know, we've seen certain things in this show where we say, well, because of this, they can't do that, and they do the other thing. So, I mean, it is possible that, you know, maybe Poseidon's a part of it. Maybe Triton is Poseidon. I don't know. But they seem to be kind of taking little nods to Disney here and there, so... I don't think we've seen the last of the whole Greek mythology and the Greek gods and all that. So.
Right. I'm sure we haven't. And, you know, there, as far as I can recall, there is no goddess of the sea in Greek mythology. But again, if you go look at Hans Christian Andersen's The Little Mermaid, it's a sea witch. So they didn't really have gods and goddesses so much in Danish folklore as much as I can recall. But it is, you know, a tale of the powerful sea witch, which would probably be the equivalent of a goddess. Who knows? If you're going to talk about... Anyway. I still think we're going to see other Greek gods and goddesses. I think we will, because that's just... They're going to pull that in there. Midas, I'm sure we'll see at some point in time. But as far as Ursula being Poseidon and drag, I don't know if I'd go there.
Well, great hair.
He's still not.
Okay.
I'm not thinking. Because, again, right. That was Regina.
Yeah, right. I know.
So you can't really base it on Regina. The actual goddess, the statue was a bronze statue.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of interesting.
Yep. Thank you very much for the voicemail.
Yep.
Hi, Captain. Check this out. I love the bell, Captain. I just can't stop ringing it.
All right, so to keep up the pirate discussion and Hook and all that, I wanted to bring out some five fun facts about Colin O'Donoghue. And some of them are just facts. Some of them are fun. Some of them are facts. And we might get Lady on the mic if she keeps whining. So he's 5'11", 1 inch taller than I am.
Yes, that's a perfect height.
All right. So he was in an episode of The Tudors, and The Tudors also starred Sarah Bolger.
Aurora.
Aurora. And he was in the episode called The Undoing of Cromwell.
Mm.
So.
Interesting.
And he is also the guitarist for a band called The Enemies. So we have a bit of that to play.
Hi there, we're the Enemies, and this is a song we always call it, Perfect Stranger.
I found that on YouTube.
That's great.
So I will post the link to that video.
I actually like that song.
Yeah.
It's really good.
And, you know, I did not focus on it, but I mean, I saw him kind of singing background stuff. Mm-hmm. So I imagine mm-hmm. he can sing and play guitar.
Sounds like he might be able to.
So, yeah. Anyhow, I want to play this clip from, and we will include this as well. This interview on Saturday Night with Miriam, and I would imagine it's in an Ireland talk show. So here it is about kind of the early life of Colin O'Donoghue, how he got started.
Mm-hmm. So, did you always want to be an actor?
Pretty much, yeah. I fell into it in... I joined youth theatre in Drogheda, the Drogheda Youth Theatre, and... I had some friends who were doing a play, and I really didn't want to sort of go in. I was meeting them for a coffee, and they were stuck for somebody to read with them, and I did. And then I ended up, I was kind of a very quiet, shy teenager, I guess, and I realised that was a way for me to kind of try to be somebody else. So I sort of fell into it then in the youth theatre, and then I just fell in love with it, you know.
And I was fascinated by actors, because it's hard to make it, and you know, like as you said, you hadn't been working before the right. Where do you keep the confidence to keep going? Is there ever a moment you think, oh geez, I couldn't be bothered anymore? If you kind
of
go,
lots of moments like that, you know. But you, I guess you just have to sort of believe in yourself. But most of all, for me, it was like my family and my wife Alan and my brother Alan and stuff like that. It was just sort of, you know, obviously my parents. But you know, if you have people who say, look, we believe in you as well, you know, stick with it, then you kind of you kind of, it really helps you sort of begin to believe in yourself again, because you go, as an actor, sometimes you go through so many knockbacks, you know, and you might be out of work for who, God knows how long, and, you know, that does take a good belt out of your confidence, and, you know, then you kind of need people to sort of say, you know, you'll be okay, stick with it, you'll be fine.
So, yeah, just a little clip about his past and what kind of keeps him going.
Yeah.
And also, there's a quote from IMDb. That's where I got these facts from. And he's quoted as saying, not to belittle what we do as actors, but my wife Helen is a teacher, and she makes a real difference to kids. So it's unusual to see people thinking of us as something special. And that's why he thinks so highly of teachers and of what his wife does as well.
Which is fantastic.
Yep.
And how sweet is that?
Yeah. Yep. And anyway,
one more reason to love him.
And like I said, we're going to put a link to this this interview from Saturday night with Miriam on the show notes, and it's a great interview. And he kind of goes on to say that his family's in the audience and all that.
Aww.
So great stuff. And we love Colin O'Donoghue and Hook as well. So let's get back to the Onceer quiz question that we gave at the top of the episode. The answer is to the question, what did Ashley say she was doing in Mr. Gold's shop? Do you remember?
I thought it was something looking for coming back to take what's rightfully mine or something like that.
No, it actually kind of ties into her discussion with Emma, if I remember, because she's told Mr. Gold, I'm changing my life.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it was so long ago, I'd forgotten. That's what she said.
Yep. All right. So remember, folks, tomorrow's episode is Dark Hollow.
Yes.
And initially,
looking forward to this.
When I saw the title, I thought that that may be their Halloween episode, but they really didn't have a Halloween episode. They really kind of used the Doctor last season to kind of focus on, hey, this is Halloween and ooh.
Right.
But not this year. It was kind of different.
Well, because they're in Neverland. There wouldn't be a Halloween in Neverland.
Yeah.
Theoretically. Because time stops, so there's no time. Which is, actually, that's kind of sad. No Christmas.
True. Yep. All right. So we will be watching Dark Hollow. There will be a First Thoughts. And don't forget...
This is Don Juanito again. I wanted to remind you that my birthday is coming up, but I won't tell you which day. So you have to call the psychic friends or someone else to find out which day. But I also want to tell you, please tweet while you listen to our podcast. Yeah, you can do it. You can multitask. You can listen to the podcast and you can tweet. You can say, I am listening to @OUAT podcast and say that Don Juanito is a heck of a guy. He could be my captain if he was a captain. Anyway, please tweet while you listen to the podcast. We really appreciate it. It really helps out and is spreading the word, and we're getting more listeners, and we love new listeners, and we love old listeners too, not by age, you know. We love all listeners, everybody. So thank you so much. Hello, this is Don Juanito. Do you Twitter or Facebook? If you do, please go to twitter.com/OUAT podcast. That's where we are. That is our page on Twitter. You must go there because there are fun things. And sometimes Adam Horowitz tweets us back. Sometimes Megan Ori tweets us back. You never know what's happening. It is fun. It's exciting, but still legal. And also, if you Facebook, go to facebook.com/OUAT podcast. That is our page on Facebook. You don't even have to play Farmville or Pirate Farmville or Candy Crush Saga, any of those games. You can just go there and be a oncer and have a good time. We post pictures and we have great conversations, great theories, great discussions. So please find us on social media, on the Twitter, on the Facebook. And I thank you for that.
All right, we're coming to the end of this episode. I just want to remind you that if you have a 5-star rating handy for our podcast, you can go to itunes.onceuponatimepodcast.com and leave a 5-star rating and a review there for us. Thank you so much. However you got to us, however you listened to us, Stitcher, wherever you found us, thank you so much for that. Thank you for your support, and we're gaining new listeners all the time. It's really exciting for us, and we really appreciate that. And that's why the tweeting while you listen is very important, because then we see it's like, oh, there's somebody new, there's somebody new, there's somebody new. So thank you for that. I want to send big love out to everyone. Especially those who are struggling in the Philippines as well. And so remember, big love is so big that you can't keep it for yourself. So take what you need and pass it on to somebody else. So until tomorrow, until First Thoughts, we are going to bid you goodbye. And be good oncers, and we will talk to you soon. See ya.
Bye.
Well, mates, thank ye for joining us for the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This be a Roni's Own Media production. We want to hear from ye. Our website be onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our email be feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our voicemail line be 657-333-0626. So tell other oncers that this be the place to be. Until we sail again, big love to you all, and we'll see ye later. With me, good eye, of course.